Ben, what happens when you you cross Tammy's ex-boyfriend, Billy, you know, whilst trying to get some Tammy?
Tammy? Well, Rob, I'm glad you asked. You get hit with the old dick twister, followed swiftly by being beaten by a gang of stereotypical 90s leather-clad bad boys. You get left for dead in the local, poorly guarded lion and wildcat sanctuary, only to be kidnapped from a hospital by a mad scientist, have your brain stolen and implanted into an animatronic dinosaur before using your new dinosaur body to go on a mission to exact revenge on the people that hurt you and still chase that first love, buddy. Tammy Fanny. Even as an animatronic dinosaur, Michael wants some Tammy Fanny.
You know, Ben, it's shit like this that you write why we're turning people away at the very first minute. We've alienated 90% of the audience. So with your absolute, I mean, it's poetry in a way.
I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast! Theme song. That's right, buddy. We're finally getting into the finer side of cinema. The pure kino that we all crave. It's Tammy and the T-Rex, arguably one of the greatest additions to the B-movie index, getting an insane cult following from goofballs and dino fanatics the world over. But before we get into the movie, bud, how you doing?
It's been a good week. I did my first proper week at my new job.
Good stuff. How was it? Well,
everyone there is really nice. I feel like everyone there is too nice.
Oh,
I think
this.
If they met you, you'd get shot on sight.
Yeah, for being feral. Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm not posh enough to work there.
Yeah, if I rock up to deliver you a sandwich for lunch, the housing prices,
stock prices will plummet. They'd close the business.
Yeah, yeah.
And rightly so.
Yeah, investors would leave in disgust.
Yeah, I just think of the sort of 235 swear words I heard this week, 240 of them were from me.
Yeah, that's fair.
And at a certain point, I realised that people were kind of wincing. It wasn't like, ha ha ha, he's a cheeky chappy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like, why is this beast
I think
here?
It's all about context. So I feel like you're using them in like normal conversation, but what you need to do is you need to lower the bar a little bit.
Right.
And you use them as like every, for like mundane stuff, you know what I mean? Mm. Rob, do you want to go on your lunch? Fuck yeah. And then they're like, okay, that's a bit strong. And then when you don't do it the next day, they're like, good for you.
This is what I'm kind of doing. I'm trying to set a low bar.
Yeah.
And then hopefully they'll think that they've,
yeah, man.
I'll incept in their minds that they've polished me up.
Polished you off.
No, Ben. I keep it professional.
We are poets.
Like yourself. Speaking of yourself, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm hot because it's like
I mean, self-flattery is not the way, man.
You're
not a bad looking dude.
Is it the mullet? It's the mullet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The mullet really brings out my cheap personality.
Right, okay.
That's fucking, dude, it's like summer. What's happening?
This is false summer.
Yeah,
and then we'll slide into real spring.
Yeah.
And then we'll have like an unenthusiastic third round spurt of real summer.
Yeah, we'll have a week in July and it'll be mint.
Yeah.
But the weather's fixed all my problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer feeling one-lunged. I mean, I am one-lunged.
Right, yeah,
but I'm no longer feeling it. I'm feeling less bloated.
Which is
inexplicable. That's good.
Right.
I think it's because I was eating far too much protein and it's just, it was killing me off bit by bit. The mullet is now somehow stronger. It feels like...
It's longer in the back is what it is.
Yeah, it feels like a bicep now.
You're a short way away from having a little rat tail.
Yeah, I kind of do have one. I'll point it out later because
I'm
looking at you right now. This is still weird. But yeah, man, the weather, it's fixed everything.
Good.
No more one lunged. My tiny penis is kind of feeling aggressively mid.
I don't know how that's related to
summer peen is what the kids are calling it,
right?
Yeah, this is the parents are saying put it away.
I feel like you wrote I've just started a new job, Ben. Strangers are going to listen to this and judge the quality of my character based on this show.
You know what else is amazing?
Right,
the film that we're in and helped write, the Conjuring tapes, just premiered in Sacramento, and our segment that we're in, the Cuntspiracy podcast, was a hit where people were like, who are those guys? And the directors, Rob Livings and Randy Nunlall, bless them, have been sending people our way. So if they join at Tammy and the T-Rex, this is the introduction that they get. So welcome everyone to...
I hate you.
The real life version of Cuntspiracy.
I hate you so much.
Nothing but professional. Let's keep this shit rolling, hey?
Classy man.
Should we sum up the show?
Yeah, so we're going to break down the show. We're going to get into how this got made, I hope, because I've got questions for you. I want to know how this got made. I want to know why it's got two cuts.
Yeah, I'm in it.
I've got an idea about how we could remake it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's sacrilege to you.
No, I'm in for it, man. I'm golden for all this because you can't make this better. It's perfect.
It is, yeah. So lots of you won't have seen this. And we say this every week. You should. You really should.
Yeah, but it never comes with a threat. Whereas this week, I feel like if you don't watch it, I will try and fight you. And you will see the mullet coming from a mile away. But by that point, it's too late.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like a shark with blood. You see the mullet, you already got.
But for those of you who are going to ignore that warning, woe betide you. And secondly,
woe betide you.
And we're gonna tell everybody what happens in this film because some of you have seen it and it's just been a while and you need a reminder. And some of you are never going to watch it and you'd like to know what we're on about later. So Ben's written a breakdown.
I have. I put a lot of work into it.
Titles are back.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick us off.
Please do.
With Act One, a dino mighty love story.
Yeah, buddy.
Meet Tammy, a peppy cheerleader with big hair and an even bigger heart.
Aww.
Who's dating Michael,
aww,
the hunky football player with the emotional range of a golden retriever, but like in a good way,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Tammy's ex-boyfriend, Billy,
uh-oh,
is a violent psychopath straight out of a rejected Saved by the Bell slasher spinoff. Commas help, Ben.
No, they don't.
After a wildly unnecessary brawl at school involving testicular violence and a less than enthused police intervention. I love the way you say less than enthused police intervention.
Yeah.
When literally there are like genuine crimes happening.
Yeah.
And they've been called out to two young boys who won't let go of each other's privates. Do you know what I mean?
Priorities. You know what I mean? Oh, what? There's a bank robbery. Excuse me, mate.
Right.
Paul Walker's getting his dick ripped off.
We get some high school hijinks and then Billy and his goons kidnap Michael.
Yeah.
Who's promptly beaten and left for dead in the local lion sanctuary. Which is odd because they just come out of nowhere. It's like, oh yeah, there's lions in this film.
I know why.
Right.
I've got that later.
If we'll full forget, but try and remember.
Yeah.
Cue the evil Dr. Wackenstein, a mad scientist who sees Michael's comatose body and thinks, perfect, let's just put his brain into a robotic T-Rex because science.
Just science. Yeah.
And Michael is declared dead, his brain is transplanted, and he wakes up as a mechanical dinosaur in a secret lab. You've written it's going great.
Yeah.
But I just want to stress, this is not, Ben's not embellished anything here. This isn't some ironic thing.
I've played this safe.
This is the literal description of what happens in this film.
Yeah, there is so little joke in this.
Yeah.
Where do you improve
Paul
this?
Paul Walker, who's in a teenage romance with a Denise Richards, gets attacked by lions and gets his brains transplanted into an animatronic dinosaur. That's just real.
That's it. This is it. I've played it really safe because the film's insane enough.
Yes.
I'm not as talented as Stuart Raffle, the writer-director of this film. Okay. So I've just left him to it.
Right, okay.
He just let him cook through me.
I
channeled my inner Raffle.
Do you want to let people know what happens in Act 2 of this incredible film?
Of course I do. Act 2, Jurassic Bark. Robot T-Rex Michael escapes the lab, understandably confused and very upset.
Let me just quickly add as well, he can't talk.
I've got something on this.
He's not a talking animatronic dinosaur.
That's the one point of this film.
And that's relevant.
Yeah, it is. It's the one point of the film that confuses me a little bit, but we'll get into it.
If some of you haven't seen this and you thought he's just himself,
No,
he is a theme park animatronic dinosaur. Yes. He doesn't have vocal cords.
Yeah. So with murder in his metal heart and love in his dino brain, he embarks on a vengeance tour, hunting down the bullies and the mad scientists who ruined his life. This includes some truly campy and hilarious kills, like stomping on people, biting heads off, and roaring dramatically while his tiny metal arms flail around. I don't know why I'm making myself laugh. I wrote this like 3 hours ago. Meanwhile, Tammy is mourning her dead boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Until the dino shows up in her backyard and starts playing charades with her.
Yep, that's a real thing that happens.
Yeah. Through interpretive dinosaur movements, she realizes, oh my God, you have Michael's brain? And she's surprisingly chill about the whole thing.
It's chill enough to like engage in physical...
We'll get to this.
Right, okay.
We'll get to this. I'm glad you brought that up though.
Right.
I feel like that, it doesn't matter. We spoke briefly before this. You've just God, this is why we work. You know what I mean? Together with a fabulous gay best friend, Byron, they try to help Michael reconnect with the world and somehow get his brain into a less prehistoric body.
Or futuristic, depending on whether you want to go with the dinosaur or the robot angle. They're both there.
They're there. See, it covers everything. This film is Kino. Like, say, a corpse that isn't so extinct. Mm. But Dr. Wackenstein and his cronies are on the hunt. And the police are completely baffled by the wave of dinosaur-related homicides sweeping the town.
Right, Act 3 is an interesting one.
Yes, it is.
Because it's where this film
really
hits
home.
It's where it hits home, because everything up to this point has kind of just been quite normal. And I know it hasn't.
No, I get what you're saying.
But compared to Act 3, it has.
Yeah, yeah.
Act 3, love and loose wires. The gang comes up with a plan to transfer Michael's brain out of the animatronic T-Rex before the authorities or mad scientists destroy him. Cue chaos.
Chaos.
Labs are broken into, bullets fly, many more people die, some of them quite squishily, I've got to say.
Squishily.
And Tammy proves she's the real MVP with her unshakable devotion to her dino bae.
Pure romance.
Eventually, after more absurdity than most movies pack into a trilogy, Michael's brain is transferred again, this time into a jar connected to a webcam, because they didn't get that far with the whole new body thing. So now Tammy has a boyfriend in a glass jar.
Yep.
And yes, they still manage to have... You've written semi-romantic relationship.
It's very romantic.
It's more romantic than most relationships.
Yes, it is.
Complete with strip teases and coy... Like, he wiggles in his dish.
Yeah, he does.
And she pours, like, cocktails over his brain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's like,
Straight and whiskey brain.
It is disturbing.
Okay, so just to sum it up, and just as a quick observation, I didn't see it come in, but who knew that this film would predict the future? We've got Denise Richards dancing on webcam for money. And we've got Paul Walker still entertaining us from beyond the grave. It is insane how prophetic this film is.
I'm so annoyed with you right now.
Right?
Because I was like, do I write a bunch of Paul Walker jokes? And I went, no, we're better than that.
Yeah.
And then literally within the first 30 seconds, you drop Tammy Fanny and I go, I feel like we're pointing in different directions here. Yeah. That's fine. You know, you've not got a new job, so it's fine.
No,
you know?
I've got, you can go there. I've got two others with people that actively listen to the show.
This is why we're called the Every Movie Ever Podcast. Because but I want to cover hard-hitting, emotionally devastating films like Zone of Interest. But Ben also wants to cover the slightly more important, more emotional stuff like this film.
Yeah, Tammy and the
T-Rex.
Where
a woman fucks a T-Rex. This is the most Ben film I've ever seen.
I'm genuinely flattered by that because this is like...
It's got its heart in the right place.
It really does.
A bunch of really horrific stuff happens.
Right.
But it's played for comedy.
Yeah.
It feels, the whole thing feels like something that Rick and Morty would watch on interdimensional cable.
Right.
And then it's like if Mac and Me existed in the Rick and Morty universe.
Yeah.
Now, I do feel like your B-movie knowledge has to be quite deep, or like your familiarity.
The lore's there.
It's like a terminally B movie. It's like hepatitis B movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the strongest.
Yeah, I got
it's quite, distilled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it turns out the Rick and Morty connection goes deeper.
It does.
Because I was looking at this film, how well known it was, because it's one of yours.
Yeah.
And you can sometimes, being hepatitis B movie, you love infecting people with stuff that, like...
My favorite thing about cinema.
...has never been seen by anyone.
Yeah, yeah. If I show you a film and it ruins your day, it's made my day 10 times better.
This didn't ruin. This genuinely, I enjoyed this film.
Good.
But it's also been mostly enjoyed inside a computer game that was directed by Justin Roiland, one half of the Rick and Morty creative team called High on Life, which is a comedy first-person shooter.
Fun game.
They licensed the entire film to play on some televisions in the game.
Yeah.
And you can just watch the whole thing.
You can watch it from start to finish, The gore cut.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You just watch it all the way through in the game. It's just there for shits and giggles.
Right. It is just there for shits and giggles. This is a very shits and giggles film. How did this get a box office release? Like, how did this end up in cinemas, Ben?
Right.
Because... it didn't. I know it didn't.
It did.
No. It did. I read it was straight to VHS.
That's not strictly true. There's two versions of this film.
Right.
One did get a release and it was terrible, but it wasn't a wide release. It was quite a small release. And to get to the reason of why this happened, I need to tell you how this film was made, why this film was made, and just what the fuck was happening.
Right, because it very much feels like a fever dream.
Okay. Good.
Okay, right,
for a start. So there's a guy called Sir Louis, or Sa Louis. I've never seen it written down, so I've written Sa Louis.
Right.
I never heard it. So Sir Louis, he owns a bunch of movie theaters in South America, like Chile, Mexico, right. This kind of place, right? He's a Dutch guy.
Right.
In his 70s.
Right.
Who owns a bunch of movie theaters. He also works as a film distributor. He buys rights to films and then sort of like releases them into South America.
Right.
Turn a quick buck. Awesome.
Great.
What a hero, right?
Yeah, I mean, objectively, it's the life I would love to lead.
Dude, same. Right? This is what I mean. I fucking love this. So he phones Stuart Raffel and he's like, mm-hmm. Buddy, I've got a T-Rex. It's going to be in California for 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, I want to make a movie. And Stuart Raffel's like, sure, yeah.
Right.
Let's go ahead and do this. This is great.
Can I interject with two questions?
Do it.
I want to know, why does he have a T-Rex?
Okay.
And I want to know who Stuart Raffel is. I know he's the writer director of this.
He is.
But like,
okay.
Why is he getting calls from distributors?
Okay. So, well, distributors is a strong way of putting it.
Why is he getting calls from people who clearly do movies to legitimize their drug trade?
Okay. So back in the early 90s, Jurassic Park revitalized the love for dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, because this is after Jurassic Park.
This is after Jurassic
to
Park.
To look at it, you wouldn't know.
No.
You think it was 10 years before.
Yes.
Yeah.
You think this is like Jurassic Park got the ideas from this because of how Kino it is. I hear what you're saying.
But in fact...
Yeah.
In fact, this is 2 years later.
That's it. Yeah. So Jurassic Park came out. Everyone loves dinosaurs again. There's a theme park in Texas, you know, like where you do the goofy rides mm-hmm. and you can like, you see like the animatronic dinosaurs.
Yeah. Like Who Zoo near here.
And we've got a dinosaur land.
I can't wait to go.
Yeah.
I'm desperate.
I mean, lower your expectations, but yeah.
I like national attractions.
Yeah.
The same way that you like films.
Yeah,
I like
same.
Going to places yeah. that are awful.
Okay.
And just reveling in how awful they are.
Okay.
Town museums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When they're like, here is a bit of wood.
Oh, my God. There is a carpet museum in Kidderminster. We're going.
Brilliant.
It's
I'm
so
eyeing
good.
Up the tile museum.
The tile museum's mint. I'm not even joking.
Right, okay.
It's mint.
Maybe not for me then.
No, it's good.
Okay.
But like, okay, so...
So he had an animatronic dinosaur from like a theme park.
No. It was going to a theme park. Why he had it, don't know.
So they were like, this is going to be installed in a theme park.
Yeah, he was...
Do you just want to borrow someone else's property for 3 weeks?
He was a T-Rex dealer, essentially. He was moving T-Rex... From right. South America to Texas, so it could join a theme park.
This man is the coolest man in the world. I want to be Sir Louis.
Sir Louis, it gets better.
Right, okay.
So Sir Louis's like, yeah, I can get you the dinosaur.
So he gets it to the writer director of this, who is...
Stuart Raffel.
And who is he? What's
the director
his story?
Of Mac and Me.
No, he isn't.
Yes, he is.
No, Ben.
The director of Mac and Me. Also the director of Ice Pirates. Also the director of Mannequin 2.
Okay,
yes.
I'm just, all I'm saying is, I've only ever seen two of this man's films.
You need to see the rest.
And both of them have been masterpieces. Bearing in mind, I like the Oscars.
Yeah.
One of my favorite directors is Martin McDonagh.
Yeah.
And Christopher Nolan, David Fincher.
Yeah.
He's so good at threading the needle.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it when we were doing Dr. Moreau.
Yeah.
About how like watching people fall over on purpose isn't funny.
No.
It's slapstick and it's... Ugh.
Cringe.
Right. Watching toddlers mm-hmm. playing near front doors and just getting shit mixed by a newspaper coming through, they're being hilarious because it's unintentional.
Yeah.
So if you try and make an intentional B movie,
right,
9 times out of 10, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Unless you got the magic juice. And it feels like Dr. Moreau was not intending to make a B movie.
No, not at all.
It made one and it's brilliant for it.
100%.
Stuart Raffel seems to want to make B-movies.
Stuart Raffel makes B-movies.
But
mate.
He does it the right way.
He does.
Where he does it with enough sincerity that you're like, oh, I don't know, you know.
Dude.
They might have been trying for an A.
Okay. I'm gonna dive a little bit deeper into Stuart Raffel in episodes coming up because it's just...
Please.
It's so good. His story's insane. He was 18. He moved to America. He's British. Moved to America.
Oh, that's why I like
started
him.
Started working as an animal wrangler.
It. Yeah.
Friends with Tippi Hedren. Did a little bit of work on the film Raw.
Oh
yeah, I know, dude. He's linked to everything that we love.
Oh my god, this is movie Inception,
dude. He's the fuck. He's royalty. He's
for new listeners. Royalty. We covered the movie Raw, and if you don't, it's R O A R, as in a lion's roar. That's relevant. Go listen to the episode. It is one of the most insane making ofs any film ever. Go back and listen. You'll be scrolling a while, but it's there.
So for one of his films, Stuart Raffle actually used two of Tippi Hedren's tigers.
Well, I'm assuming the lions in this must have been Tippi Hedren's.
No, the lions in this are one of his other friend's lions.
Okay, so Stuart Raffle gets called by Sir Louis. I've got an animatronic dinosaur for 3 weeks in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to Texas. I want to make a movie. Stuart Raffle's like, okay, great. What's the story? He's like, don't have one. And he's like, mint. So I need to write a story. And he's like, write a story, get it cast, find the locations, get it filmed within 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
The budget is $1 million. That's all the money I've got. All the money I've got in the world is $1 million. This is for you. It's $1 million.
Yeah. It looks great for $1 million.
It's insane for $1 million. It's insane for $1 million. But so this has all happened. This is a phone call, right?
Yeah.
So whilst Raffle writes the story within 1 week, his wife, who was also a producer, is out hiring a crew.
Right.
She hires the crew, gets it all in. Raffle and his buddy, Gary Rocket, write the story. They just have shitloads of fun with it. They just take the piss, make it as weird as possible. It's sci-fi. Anything's possible. Let's throw a bit of gore in there because it's cheap and it's easy to make. Okay, we're done. Locations. So because LA is a fucking nightmare realm where driving 20 miles can sometimes take upwards of 2 hours.
Yeah.
They decided to keep everything within 20 miles of their house.
I mean, that's brilliant filmmaking.
It's insanely like,
that's
good
on a practical filmmaking level.
It's genius.
We did Moreau last week and, you know, they were talking about it was an hour's journey into the jungle when 5 minutes from the hotel looked very similar.
Yeah.
They've not made that error. They've gone, no, we can't get places. We have 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Let's all do it local.
Exactly.
Like, that. You. Okay, it's a silly B movie, but like, that's
it's genius.
Legitimately good the production.
Stuart Raffle is, he's so cool. I've watched like 6 interviews with him. I've read countless like excerpts of stuff that he's written. He's a fucking lad. He's amazing. His career is insane as well. We'll do a Stuart Raffle focused episode.
Great.
And we'll just do the story of him, like a director featurette, because it's insane what he's done. It's incredible. So yes, within 20 miles of his house. But I need you to think about the locations in this film. There's a hospital. There's a morgue. There's a lion sanctuary.
Well,
there's a national park.
Yeah.
There's barns. There's open fields. It's this insane thing.
This is why I didn't think it was a million. I mean, the morgue, I'm not going to give you because that is clearly just someone's shed.
There's a morgue in it. All right. It's got morgue doors and there's the pull-out trays. That shit came from somewhere.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah, fair.
This is what I mean. There was journeys and shit all over the place. Yeah. Like, I'm calling it a morgue.
Right, fine. All right? Yeah.
They adapted this story to the locations rather than vice versa.
Brilliant.
And it's insane what they pulled off. Yep. So all the things that happen chronologically in this film are because they could get in at that time for a couple hours. Most of the film is two takes because they just couldn't afford any more time. And there was
I think it benefits from two takes.
Yeah.
Because I think what it actually has is Paul Walker is as good an actor as he is bad a driver.
I so nearly agreed with you then.
And I think Denise Richards is also a fantastic actress. And
you might be alone.
I think only giving them two takes works.
Yeah.
Because you get weird idiosyncrasies in the performances that any other production would do another take.
Okay.
But that's what makes it B-movie. You get actors and just don't give them time.
All right. Well, the A actors you've just mentioned, this is their first feature film roles.
Amazing.
The reason that they've got chemistry on set is because they're dating.
Amazing. Am I right in thinking Denise Richards married Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
That she must have had a great couple of years.
Oh, she was off her tits on Tiger Blood. You know what I mean?
Like, that must have just been
she was loving time. Life. But I've got a little excerpt from Stuart Raffle himself on what it is to make a sci-fi film. So he's like, this is what he says. When you have a limited budget with a sci-fi film and you have a Tyrannosaurus Rex and it's just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
They spend more than our entire budget on a single minute in a George Lucas film.
Yep.
You have to figure out how to do everything by strapping a Tyrannosaurus Rex animatronic figure to the back of a truck, pushing it on a dolly, and you have to write a story that kind of makes fun of this whole process, and that's how you get a rich story in a fun, silly film. And the fact that he's so self-aware to go, this is going to be stupid. Let's really lean into it and make it make everyone in on the joke.
Lean into limitations.
But play it as straight as possible.
It's 100%. The number of times when I worked in music and we would do, that's a really bad sounding recording.
Yeah.
Well, let's make it worse and have it be a deliberate, like, scratchy thing.
Now it's a creative
choice. Now it's a creative choice.
Not a limitation.
Right. Yeah. Trying to make your limitations seem like creative choices
yeah.
is the only way to go. Because if you look at something like The Island of Dr. Moreau,
yeah.
they didn't do that.
No.
And you go, this is ass.
But look at The Room. The Room is, like, famously the best bad movie that's ever existed.
Yeah, it's
that was
fine.
Sold as a drama. It wasn't a comedy. It wasn't a fun B movie. Mm-hmm. It was sold to be the next great American drama.
Right.
And the fact that everyone loved it because it was so fucking stupid and yeah. like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then it gained its cult status. They just leaned into it like postpartum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. They didn't intend.
Exactly.
And whereas again, Stuart it comes Raffel, back to that. That's a deliberate fall on your face.
Exactly.
Stuart Raffel is going, I'm going to acknowledge that I'm falling yeah. towards the ground. I can either put my hands out in front of me or yeah. I can commit to the bit.
Exactly.
Right. Dude,
he has the foresight and the genuine self-awareness to know all limitations. And he's like, I can make this something fun mm-hmm. for people that like weird shit.
Right.
And he nails it every single time.
100%.
Every
100%.
Time. We're going to get into him and like his whole thing.
We should do a thing. We'll see if yeah. we can get him onto interview maybe.
Oh, dude, if that happens, I'm gonna gush. Because that right. is like, that's the equivalent of a royalist meeting Prince Philip.
I feel King like Philip? Stuart Raffel.
Who the fuck is king right now?
Prince Charles.
Charles.
Who's now King Charles?
Who am I talking about? Prince Philip.
Was Queen Lizzie's husband, the racist one.
Why do I remember the racist one?
Yeah. Why, Ben? I wonder why. I mean, trust me, there's worse princes you could remember.
Yeah.
So this still doesn't come. I mean, this is all fascinating, okay, and I'm having a good time.
I'm going to speed us
but
through it.
Does, right? does this make it to a cinema at the in 1994?
It does. It does, but with a few tweaks. So the film started shooting in September.
Right.
In Malibu Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Americans will understand what this means, but for everyone else, all of us, even us, because I didn't know what this meant, and everyone's talking about it like it's a common thing. But so apparently Malibu Canyon in September, all the fauna is dry, all the ground is dry, fires can
right.
just break out of nowhere, and they can do 20 miles from forest to coast in 2 hours.
Oh.
Like wildfires everywhere.
Oh.
So anyway, this film started filming in September in Malibu Canyon. And wouldn't you know it, the fauna's dried out and a wildfire right. sparks through the local national park,
right.
which unfortunately is one of their locations.
Especially when you've got an animatronic T-Rex that's difficult to move and you don't own.
It's strapped to a truck.
Right.
Strapped to a truck.
Okay.
You've got a crew and a cast that are all yeah. desperate to get one shot done because you have no money and you're like, fuck, I need something to end this right. film, right?
And this set will be on fire in 45 minutes.
This is exactly what happened, buddy.
What?
So from here... there is a wildfire spread. It's in the film. You can see the smoke. There's a shot of a bright orange sky, and it's just a transitional shot.
Yeah.
It's an orange sky with huge smoke everywhere, and then it cuts to the first shot of the animatronic T-Rex in the
right.
in the lab.
Okay.
That shot is just them going, holy shit, that's a wildfire. It's a normal sunny morning.
Yeah.
That you just see the sun through all this smog. And that's the wildfire.
See, I thought it was like an intro to the prehistoric nature of the dinosaur.
I thought so too, and it works right? so well.
Really does. You're it's like, Land of the Lost.
It's just
Land Before Time.
Nightmare Realm LA on fire. Like, this is what it is. It's insane. So this is happening.
Mm.
The fire marshals show up. The wildlife guys, I don't know what they're fucking called. Patrons? Not patrons. What am I thinking of?
What?
Patrol,
yeah.
What? There's a word.
The Forestry Service.
Sure, we'll call it
fine,
that.
Fine, yeah.
I'm thinking of something else. I'm going to yell it in about 20 minutes.
Right, great.
So the Forestry Service and the fire marshals are there, and they come over and they're like, you have to evacuate. There is a fucking wildfire spreading this
yeah.
way. And they're like, yeah, we just need to get this one shot real quick. And they had to bribe the Forestry Wildlife
wow.
Service with like $500 and be sort
you
of like...
You just said it, Forestry and Wildlife Service. There you go.
I'm so good.
I just had to
I'm
catch
so
that now
good.
Before I was halfway through
Thank
like a long
so
point and you were like, Forestry Wildlife Service!
God, that made my mullet tingle. That's how intense that was.
Did they got the shot, please.
They got the shot.
Amazing.
So the wildlife dude heads over to the fire marshal, gives him a bit of cash.
Right.
They split a $500 bribe. He comes back over and he's like, you got 2 hours. If you see ash falling from the sky, fuck off immediately. Get out immediately. Because when ash is falling from the sky, it's on
too
your
close.
Ass,
yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
need
yeah.
to leave. So all this is going on. They get another couple shots and the film gets finished.
Amazing.
Finally. All within 3 weeks.
Right.
Everything done and dusted. Everyone's really happy with it and it's great.
Right.
Editor gets it all together. Everyone's feeling good. Everyone's like, God, this is such a stupid little gem of a B movie.
Right, and it is, but I have a question.
Yeah.
So you were very specific that I had to watch a certain version of this film.
Oh, yeah.
You had to be the one with the yellow credits,
yep,
where it's mistitled in the opening credits as Tanny and the T-Rex.
Yeah, and also her credits are mistitled as Tanny
Denise,
and the T-Rex.
Denise Richards, Tanny.
Yeah.
Which then made me realise, you made me watch the director's cut.
No, the gore cut.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So, but Ben, this is a $1 million...
Yes.
Made in 3 weeks with 3 weeks notice B movie. How on earth does this have two cuts?
Well, Saloui.
Right.
I'm gonna let Raffle tell this story.
Right, okay.
So this is Stuart Raffle, director of Tammy and the T-Rex, talking right now. The old gentleman who financed the film, he was a Dutch man living in South America. He re-edited the whole film to fit what he thought the audiences in South America would like and what he would like.
Oh.
Now This is where he sees the cut and is like, right, absolutely not. This is not what I signed up for. I wanted a Disney-esque family film. So he re-edits the entire film to make it a PG-13 cut because the original Tammy and the T-Rex was an R-rated horror comedy.
I love the idea that it's almost like the waiter taking items off the plate that the chef's made because they've just realized that it's a kid ordering.
Yes.
They're like, oh. Yeah, they've said to the director, just make a plate of food.
It's always and food with you.
Yeah, it's
always food.
Do you know what it is? It's job specific. So
now it's all going to be about dogs?
Possibly, yeah.
Ooh, I'm excited for this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I started, it was all music stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's all food stuff, and it will slowly morph into maybe video stuff.
Okay.
Maybe video stuff, maybe dog stuff.
So Saloui re-edits the whole film.
Yeah.
He changes the title of the film to Tammy and the Teen Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Right, okay.
Rolls off the tongue, right?
Really does. Yeah. And then if we're going to have it in a second language, let's make it a tongue twister.
Yes, let's just get it going.
Right.
So he edits out all the gore. Most of the kills are gone. All the swearing's gone. Audio is cut, but the video still remains.
Brilliant. Love
which
that.
Which is mental. You can still watch this cut, by the way. It's out there. I've got it on Blu-ray. It's incredible. This all happens. And anyway, it's released into the cinema and it flops. Because it makes no fucking sense. It was pushed as sort of like a dinosaur movie for kids.
This is, I mean, Chile,
all the family.
Chile have got priors with this though, because when they broadcast Star Wars on television, they edited in adverts for Cristal beer, like seamlessly. There we go. So there's for those of you that don't know, there's a famous event that happened in Chile where they broadcast Star Wars without commercial breaks. But what they'd done is they'd recreated locations so they could do close-ups of characters pulling out product placement.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's just culturally in Chile, like, we'll import it, but we'll do what we want with it.
It's a weird thing that we're talking about product placement edited into a film whilst talking about Stuart Raffle, who also directed Mac and Me.
Right.
Who sparked one of the largest co-advertising deals between themselves and McDonald's,
right,
which forced Disney to then step in and go, no, I'm going to do that partnership. And then Disney, because of Mac and Me, set up a partnership with McDonald's and Coca-Cola, rendering all of the details, because of Mac and Me.
Oh, we've hit a weird loop. We're never going to get out of this.
Stuart Raffle might be the only thing holding this universe together.
I think he might be. He must be protected at all costs.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. So Saloui basically takes his R-rated horror comedy, tries to re-edit it into, of all things, a family-friendly adventure.
Yes.
Which this involves like paleontological bestiality.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, we'll work around that.
There's also a whole...
How did he deal with the last scene? The last scene is Denise Richards in lingerie doing a sexy dance for a brain. I'm guessing that didn't make it. Yeah.
Get it gone. It just ends with like a nice little, here's the whiskey. And that's it.
Okay.
But there's so much more that was cut, mate. So
right.
Much more. The dick twisting's gone.
Right.
All the swear words are gone. Sean Whalen's death's gone. Sean Whalen's in this.
No, Sean Whalen is in this, and so Sean Whalen is a director of Crust, and
he is,
so much more.
Dude, as if you know that, I'm so fucking proud. Sean Whalen, actually, he owes me money.
Does he?
He fucking does. He did a live, right, on Instagram with him and Felissa Rose, star of Crust, right?
Right.
And if you donated on to the film page, Indiegogo or Kickstarter, whatever the fuck it was, they would sign something on the live. Whatever it is you wanted written on, like a still image.
Yeah.
And they would post it to you. I paid twice, one for Ben Groves and one for Rob McFarlane.
Oh.
And I said, can you sign it? Rob McFarlane, thank you for not knowing who I am.
Yeah.
Love Sean Whalen. And then for me, it was obviously Felissa Rose because...
Yes, of course. You know what I mean?
Love of my life. One of.
When you say love of your life, you mean person that you crush on from a distance and never interact with before?
I would crumble.
Because I'll probably clip this and send it to Sean Whalen.
I would crumble at the thought of ever meeting Felissa Rose. I would not know how to handle myself.
Okay, yeah. So I'm guessing he didn't send you...
I've still not got him. Because haven't got it, have you? Where is it? No, and only now am I remembering this. I'm fuming.
See, what I'd have done is I'd have printed out a check and got him to sign that.
That's so fucking smart. That's so smart. Oh, God, okay, I need to get checks back. I need to get this back. So, you mentioned the title card as well, Tanny and the T-Rex.
Yeah.
That's Sir Louis being a Dutch guy living in South America, and it's a complete oversight. There's no hidden reason. There's no anything.
Okay.
It just
here's the card. Put some titles on it.
Spelling mistake that never got...
I love it.
It's amazing.
I love when noticeable mistakes make it into movies. And it's one of the things that digital has robbed from us.
Yeah.
Because B movies now include so much less of that.
Yeah.
And they're more boring for it.
This is
because
what I mean.
I think, again, if we're talking about, like we mentioned earlier, it's a funny, good, bad movie.
Yeah.
If they were trying to make a good movie and it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
And I think back when it was shot on film and things were like in the can and done, you would end up with these mistakes making it to the final cut because that was plot necessary scene.
Yeah.
They only had two takes of it.
Yep.
The boom mic was in both of them. Fuck it. It's just going to have to be a visible boom mic.
Going to have to do.
Nowadays, every B movie that's made is shot on an iPhone and edited to the point where they go, oh, we can paint that out. And what it's actually doing is it's removing a safety net from you as a filmmaker. Because it removes the option of your movie ever being a bad good movie.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a bad movie.
Yeah.
If you don't hit an ace first time and do something like a Smile or a Terrifier.
Oh, yeah.
It's just forgotten.
I mean, Terrifier was technically the third one, but it's fine.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. All Hallows Eve. I got you.
But, yeah.
We'll get into it. Yeah. We'll do it.
I know Sean Whalen. I'm getting there.
You knew Crust and I nearly came. That was ridiculous that you just pulled that out of the bag. Fucking hell. Speaking of all of this, I've got a little something here from Stuart Raffle, the director of Tammy and the T-Rex.
Okay.
Just on what he was trying to achieve with this film.
Right. I'm desperate to hear what this is going to be because this film is insane.
Yes. Right. You ready? I was just trying to do a film for people that like wacky movies. In other words, you laugh at the experience that I was facing, which is, what the hell are you meant to do with this material? I was sticking all this shit in it just to make it work. Of course, when you only have a week to work on a script, it is a bit thin. I'm also the biggest plagiarist. I'm constantly asking the cast and crew if they have anything better that they can add. And I love this shit. And then he goes on to say, he could have ended it there. And I would have been like, you know what? That's really,
that's fair. That's
really
humble.
Lovely. Humble. He's self-aware. This is great. And then he goes on to add, all the actors on the film, though, they were great. Denise played the scene where she's talking to the dinosaur for real as best she could. She was never a great actress, but she was pretty.
What's with Denise Richards catching strays? Like,
okay, the main criticism is that she plays this like it's a fucking, like it's a soap opera.
Yes.
And it works better
for it.
Exactly. It's perfect for the film. But the way that she delivers some of the dialogue, the charades, man.
I'm sorry, Ben. Whoa. I have to cut you off here. I have to trap you in hypocrisy corner.
Okay.
You said that Josh Hartnett was a brilliant actor.
Yes.
Because he understood the assignment.
This isn't me talking right now.
Denise Richards understood the assignment.
Exactly my point.
Right?
I'm not saying that she's a bad actress.
Right.
I'm saying that she delivers stuff like a soap opera, and she plays it completely straight, which is what I fucking adore about this film. There is not a moment in this film where it's like people are like tongue in cheek, like, oh, isn't this silly?
No, because that would
dead
ruin
straight.
It.
Exactly.
Because then you're ironically fucking the donkey, which for new listeners is that whole thing of like, oh, I'm doing it ironically. It's like, yeah, but you've still got your dick in the donkey. Like, it's not...
Oh, I like that you do it that way around. In my mind, I was getting fucked by the donkey.
No.
Well, that's far. That's far easier.
Right. But that whole thing of like, if doing something ironically is not a defense for why are you doing this?
No, of course not. It's
right?
a cop out.
If you're doing it because it's funny, commit to the bit. And they commit to the bit in this film.
Yeah.
There is an almost touchingly romantic physical exchange between her and the dinosaur in the barn.
Yes.
Which is very clearly
charades.
A soft... No, after... It was... Yeah.
Okay.
It's clearly a softcore pan away. You know where in films where there's clearly something going on and then they pan to some fluttery curtains?
Yes, but also you need to understand this moment in the film that you've just brought up has possibly the greatest joke in the entire film that is just completely underneath.
Are we talking favourite moment in the film?
This is by a long shot, buddy.
Right, okay.
By a long shot. You've got us to a point now where there's this point of no return.
Right.
Because the first time I ever watched this film, I was sort of, I was smoking weed. I was in my teens. I found gold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it disappeared forever. It was one of those things that sort of popped up on TV and I could never find it.
TV.
Dude, it was one of those late night things. You know, like
Channel 5.
Look at these weird films. And then it shows you like a good solid chunk of it.
Yeah.
It's that. And I never found it again until I did.
Right.
So there's the moment. They're playing charades.
Mm-hmm.
And then she realizes that Michael's brain is inside the
animatronic dinosaur.
There was a bit of difficulty there. I mean, the T-Rex is actively pointing to the bracelet and then himself. As if to be sort of like, I, Michael, thinking she's like, yeah, Michael got me this bracelet. And it's like, bitch, she's not talking to you about your bracelet.
Now, I actually like this scene.
Yeah.
Because if you died and I mourned you.
Yes.
And I was then greeted by a 17-foot tall.
He's 12 foot, Rob. They mention it in the film.
No, this is different.
Oh, this is different. Yeah, okay.
17-foot tall mechanical eye, right?
Eye.
Yeah, it's a marsupial with long fingers and massive eyes. They get shot in their native country because they're... Google it. A-Y-E animal.
This is such a niche reference right now.
No, it's not. Anyone who knows their animals knows our eyes, mate. They are... Anyway, I'm not going to... Right, if one of those rocks
off...
If one of those rocks... Now you're looking at it.
Is this how you see me?
No. This is my point. It's so far from how I see you. It's 17 foot tall.
Okay.
If it points at my French copy of Magnolia on DVD, and then at itself, I'm going to go, oh, you're pretentious. I'm not going to go, oh, you're Ben. I'm going to go, oh, you like Magnolia in Hungarian, right? I'm not going to go, oh, my dead friend who I've mourned is inside this mechanical eye.
Well, this is where me and you differ, Rob, because if you died and I'm mourning you, and a 17-foot armadillo saunters through the fucking forest.
Yeah.
And I just happen to be carrying my VHS copy of Flesh Gordon 2. And you start tapping the VHS and then pointing to yourself. I'm going to be like, you're Rob McFarlane.
Right, okay.
I knew this day would come.
Because I bought you Flesh Gordon 2.
Yeah.
Not that you just go, get away, you pervy man. This is my softcore sci-fi parody.
No, I've prepped for this. And I feel like because I've done enough research. I've done Nolan-level research into Tammy and the T-Rex.
You really have.
And when we did the Nolan series, I did no research.
this is great because this is exactly where I'm at. I know nothing about this
film.
Yeah,
this is fucking incredible. But yeah, okay, I get
So
I
favorite moment, they're doing the charades.
So this thing, the charades happens, it pans away. And then Tammy reappears from the back garden. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hi, Dad. And the police are like, what the fuck is going on with the massive hole in your house? And she's like, I don't know, it might be a meteorite or something. And you're like, this is insane.
Yes.
But then it cuts to the fucking mad scientist sitting at the bottom of the driveway watching this all unfold. No one notices him.
No.
And he just goes, she's seen the dinosaur.
Because of the way she's walking.
And then the fucking assistant's like, how do you know that? It's I can tell by the way she walks. I was like, have you just implied that she's had sex with a 12-foot tall dinosaur?
She has.
I know.
She has.
It's completely swept under the rug. There's no reaction to it whatsoever. But it's the best thing.
There's lots of things like that because in the moment where they do the charades, she like leans in to hug the dinosaur and then it switches to a long shot and she's in like a shirt, like a big man shirt.
Yeah.
And then like date night undies.
Mm.
And I'm like, she's just wearing date night undies all the time.
Just in case. It's Denise Richards. Have you not seen her OnlyFans?
Okay, fair. And then you mentioned Dr. Wackenstein.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, I can't remember the film that it's in, but there two gentlemen get into an altercation and he goes, it's Seven. When they're in the car and Brad Pitt turns to Kevin Spacey and he goes, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Do insane people know that they're insane?
Are you just
painting the walls with your feces at one point and you go, oh, actually, I've gone wrong here.
Yeah.
I want to know if the same thing applies to cronies. If you're a crony of a mad scientist, you must be able to figure it out. If your only mates are a short science man with massive varifocals and a titsy lady who's constantly making sexual references and shagging the mad scientist.
Yeah.
And you're just there on your, you know, on your creatine.
Yeah.
Do you know you're a crony?
I think you're hired specifically under that.
Or
job,
is it crony required?
Yeah,
you just,
I think that's,
so you
I
just
got
to be
title.
You've got to just be crony comfort. You've got
to
be.
Listen, if I ever get to the point at the gym where I'm looking as good as that guy does, and someone goes, "Hey, listen, I need a bit of muscle to help me in my evil lab."
Yeah.
Sign me up immediately.
You see, I wouldn't. Because I've never seen a film where the cronies end the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Not bad. But speaking of cronies, that's my favourite moment.
Okay, go on.
Is when Michael the T-Rex escapes.
Yeah.
And he flattens Muscle Man Crony.
And yeah, then
it's a great death. But what's better is the fact that you then later in the film cut to Dr. Vakenstein and his titsy assistant.
Yeah.
His assistant, if you please.
Assistant.
Yeah.
You really are a poet.
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
Dragging you down to my level this episode.
I know.
And I'm loving
it's,
every
it's
second
terrific.
Of it. It's amazing.
I feel like if we hadn't started quite as strong, it would have been nice.
All right.
But I feel like
should've
you really Paul
the...
Walkered that intro.
Yeah. We dove straight into the
But it's the
fanny.
Bit where he rolls up the flattened muscle man.
Like a carpet.
Like a sleeping bag after a camping trip.
Yeah.
And I just go... That's such a practical storage method.
Exactly. Right?
Right? I'm like, oh, that's a man who's been camping.
Exactly. Exactly.
I loved it. Now, that's not to say I didn't have a few ideas about how we could improve this. And this is where...
You're bordering on sacrilege right now.
No, I know.
We're talking about a perfect movie.
I know. What I'm saying is it's perfect as it exists.
Okay.
But like you said, it had that initial first cut that was meant to be a family movie.
Yeah.
It sort of got banished to VHS B-movie obscurity for 25 years until Vinegar Syndrome came along and did the theatrical.
Got a 4K re-release.
Got a 4K
on it, like.
Re-release of the gore cut into cinemas. Like, what the hell?
It's amazing.
But it's great, but I feel like it's a great piece of art that kind of misfired.
Okay.
And could do with a rebrand. It could do with a remake.
Is this Rob McFarlane's remake pitch?
Yes, it is. Right. All so, right. Couple things. We'll get to the cast, but the dinosaur needs to be CGI. Full CGI. But, hear me out. Early 2000s CGI. You want to think Spawn movie?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You want to think pre-Jurassic Park CGI, and everyone needs to commit to the bit. But I want some people just looking at the wrong, like, because I want the actors to not necessarily know where the dinosaur is when they're performing with it.
Yeah.
Maybe put that tennis ball on a stick a few meters too high or low.
Just don't have it.
Right, exactly.
Just don't have it.
Just let them figure it out.
Rotoscope it in later. Don't even have
this
the ball.
This is it. There's one scene in this where they have the dinosaur do a walk cycle towards a woman using a phone.
Okay.
And it is incredibly janky because it's very clearly rotoscoped in after the fact. It doesn't change scale as it gets twice as closer to the camera.
Okay.
All this kind of stuff. Yeah. So it needs to be that. I want to think like Nigerian Hollywood levels.
Oh, God, I'm in.
Right?
Yeah, I'm in for this.
And then it needs a new metal soundtrack.
Okay.
When they're having the romance scene, I need to have Crazy Town. Come,
ooh,
my lady.
Come,
my lady. You're my butterfly. Sugar, honey. Ooh. Right?
I'm in.
Maybe a bit of Papa Roach, but Papa Roach like doing a cover of like a Joy Division song or something like that.
You could have, you know, the bit where Paul Walker's in his bedroom and he's a bit gutted because Billy's obviously just like tried to...
Batter him,
Tried to like pull his dick off in front of all of his mates and Tammy's ran away.
So before
he gets the phone call, he's just lying on his bed holding a baseball, listening to Cut My Life in Two Pieces.
Exactly, there we go.
This is my last resort. Yeah, I'm in.
And then casting, I'm going to do Margaret Qualley as Tammy.
I'm in. Sold.
Right.
Sold.
David Johnson from Romulus. He plays the android in Romulus.
Ooh.
He's Byron.
I'm in.
And KJ Apa, who's Archie in Riverdale, as Michael. Now, you're not going to know him, but if you Google KJ Apa, you'll see he's got the right amount of like young man who can give meathead energy. And the best thing is he's already on a soap opera.
Ooh. I like this.
Right?
Okay.
I feel like there are some listeners who are going to go, oh, I know KJ Apa.
Yeah.
And then the other half are on Google. But I feel like if you did it, if you remade it.
Yeah.
And you almost made it as like a remake of a B movie, but try and set everything 20 years back. Do it the same again. 1 million budget.
Okay.
Give it to like New Line or something like that and go, see if you can remake this for a million.
Or that,
and just
good.
Have the CGI be like Birdemic, or you know, just
all right. I'm in. This right? sounds great. I'm in. It'd be a different Tammy and the T-Rex, but you know what?
It would. What I want it to be. It. I want it to be the early 2000s extreme.
The extreme cut.
Like Underworld. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You know that, that period of time where there'd be slow-mo and then new metal would kick in.
Dude.
And the acting was awful. It's my favorite period in cinema.
Okay. I love this. I feel like we've skipped the main point of the movie though. And I love this idea.
Right.
I think if it was to get remade exactly as you just said, it would be a fun movie, but I think fundamentally it would be massively flawed. Because what Tammy and the T-Rex does for me
right
is it highlights peak romance.
This is
you will never get a more romantic film than Tammy and the T-Rex. And let me tell you for why, Rob. Tammy is in love with Paul Walker's character Michael. And she's like, look, I want this to work. I want to be together.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't because my psycho ex-boyfriend will literally murder you and I won't be able to forgive myself.
Yeah.
She holds Michael in such a high regard, it's unreal.
She does.
Right. Michael the same to her. He's like, I don't give a shit. Let him try. I'll kill him first. Not a great answer, but it's fine. You know, they're teens. They're doing their thing.
They are, yeah.
She gets to the point where she's like, you know what? Let's try it. Let's follow true love. Let's let love speak for itself. A true Romeo and Juliet style story.
Right.
And unfortunately ends up dying. Well, not dying. He doesn't die, by the way. He gets his head cut open whilst alive and his brain removed whilst alive.
That's science.
It is science. I'm glad that we're on the same page.
Jesse, that's science,
this is
bitch.
It. Yeah. So his brain gets transferred into an animatronic 12-foot T-Rex.
Yes.
And Tammy, once she figures out that that is Michael, has an unwavering, unshakable love for the brain and the person that that brain houses inside that animatronic T-Rex.
We see this very differently, but yes, okay. Continue.
So now she's like, this is the thing. I'm going to help save him. I'm going to get him a new body, but he deserves the right to choose it. It's not up to me to choose.
Very 2025.
It's very 2025. For 1994, it's very 2025, and she will then, she drags corpses to the window of a morgue.
So the animatronic T-Rex can do a sort of shopping montage.
Exactly.
Fashion dressing room scene of what person he wants to be.
But it's what Tammy says to get Michael's attention from inside the morgue. She knocks on the window and goes, Michael, I love you.
Right.
And then he hears that and is like, that must be my future wife.
Yeah, yeah, right.
She needs me.
Okay. It's good you bring up that scene.
Yeah.
Because this is where you and I fundamentally disagree about this.
Yeah.
And I think that scene proves it.
Okay.
I think you've very sweetly and weirdly, we've done a weird swap here.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be the beast.
Okay.
I think she's just got blue balls. I know for a fact that
blue tubes.
The women in my life that I have known have been far darker and far hornier and far pervier than any man I have ever met.
Sure.
Like some are vanilla, but when they go in spicy, women go straight to Vindaloo. Right.
Okay.
And I feel like she invites him over.
Yeah.
She's like, no, we can't. My boyfriend. She rings him up.
Yeah.
And she goes, right, it's happening. Come on.
Oh,
around.
It's 1,000% of booty.
They get a little bit into it.
Yeah.
And then they get interrupted.
Yeah.
That's the last time she sees his human form.
Oh, it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you're in the dinosaur. And I feel like she's made her mind up.
Yeah.
This is happening. And they've been interrupted halfway through.
Yeah.
And she's slapping that PlayStation controller out of his hand and going,
glad you said no PlayStation
fucker.
Controller.
No fucker.
Yeah.
Evidenced by the fact that when they get into the morgue and they're showing bodies and they can't find a match, you know, Michael's being picky.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to be that guy. And Byron the Black Mate, he turns up, he pulls a woman up.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, no, I don't want a sister. I want a guy.
Yeah.
She's got the horn. It's not love.
Yeah,
it's
horn. I'll agree with you, man. I think that's it. I think she did get blue tubed.
I feel like as the second that brain gets put back in a body, it's going to be about a week, and then she's going to be like, oh, this is a bit shit.
But does her loyalty ever waver? Because not only does she stay loyal to an animatronic T-Rex and do everything with it, she goes against the literal LAPD.
Yes.
To try and find, to try and fucking grave rob him a new body.
I feel like you have a very naive understanding of female sexuality, Ben.
It gets sweeter though. It gets more romantic because even when the T-Rex is shot to shit and can no longer function, she hires a brain analyst to put the brain into a jar, which she then hooks up to a webcam.
Yeah.
It still has sensory issues because she can pour alcohol on it and he enjoys a good whiskey.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And then she strip teases for him, bud. This is like, it's unwavering love. Mm. This is peak romance. This is romance to a point where I don't think I've ever felt anything like this. Ever. I don't know if I could.
Funny that. Funny that. It's almost like saying, it's like Star Wars is like flying, but to a height that I just can't think I'd ever fly to.
This is what I'm saying.
Sets
the bar.
Space travel.
No, it sets the bar too high.
Yes,
this is the space travel of romance, Rob.
This is the sci-fi of romance.
It's the most romantic film that has ever existed. The Notebook. Oh, what? My wife's gone senile, so I'm going to remind her that she was a slag all that time. Yeah, what a fucking romance film that is. Oh, how lovely. Forrest Gump. Yeah, what a fucking crackhead. Manipulates a mentally ill man for 3 decades and then it's like, oh, by the way, your kid is 5 years old. Also, I have AIDS.
I was going to say Moulin Rouge, but that's literally a man falling in love with a prostitute.
This is what I'm saying. Do you see what I mean? This is the most romantic thing ever. Even Romeo and Juliet is like, they're teens, man.
They're 12, yeah.
This is what I'm saying. all of the romance movies
but
are
fucked. I feel like we can reach a point of agreement there with Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
Because Romeo and Juliet is considered one of the most romantic stories ever written by human hand.
Sure.
But it is essentially about two preteens who get the horn and then they are on monorail.
Yeah.
Just going, this has to happen.
Yeah.
Because I'm full of hormones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've made my choice. Yeah. And it's that or death.
As the 8 billion people on this planet exist, my true love lives in the house next door that I'm not allowed to speak to. Shut up, you absolute child.
That's
Shut
exactly
up.
This film. You called it Romeo and Juliet. It is that.
That's what I'm saying.
She's gone, my horn has laid to rest on this man.
Right.
And whether he's a T-Rex or a brain, it's happening.
I mean, don't
She's
get me wrong.
She's got too much self-worth built up into it. She's come out of a bad relationship.
Yep.
And if Michael and her don't happen, she's going to take a massive hit to her ego, self-confidence, and self-image.
She's going to sabotage every Jurassic Park screening forever. But also, though, thinking about it, we were just talking now, and he's fucked for the rest of his life. If she gets him another body, and then they settle in, let's say they get 10 years older, they're living together, they've got their careers, this, that, and the other. The second that he's like, excuse me, why haven't you done the washing up? And she's like, oh, excuse me, do you remember the time that you were a fucking dinosaur? And I had to rob a morgue? And I stayed faithful to you for the entire time.
Let's put it this way. There is a conversation that sometimes couples need to have, especially as you get older.
If I was a dinosaur, would you still love me?
No. It's the one where one of you, usually me, gets incredibly fat.
Right.
Right. And you have to go.
You say incredibly fat. I've seen you at your largest. You weren't incredibly fat.
No, you weren't. I've got very narrow standards for
Fuck
myself.
Yes. Okay.
For partners, I'm like, everything's great. For me, I'm like, oh, that belt's a bit tight. Because I've got no muscle, so that I've got nothing. If
gym buddy,
I know.
We're
but
on
if,
it.
If I get half a centimeter of fat, I look like uncooked bread. I just turn
just
into
not
smooth
true.
Tube.
It's just not smooth tube.
Yeah,
it's
but,
just not true.
But here's my point: if Denise Richards' character, if Tammy, were to gain 600 pounds,
right,
and be morbidly obese, morbidly obese.
Okay, morbidly a beast. I don't know what you're saying.
It's, you get so obese. Fat that you're such a beast, you might die.
Right.
You're morbidly a beast.
Right. Okay. Right.
If she gets morbidly a beast, he's not got a leg to stand on because she's going to be like, do you still find me sexy? And he's going to go, I'm going to be honest, just for my own personal preference.
Yeah.
I don't find people who are heavier than 600 pounds sexually attractive. And she's going, do you remember that time you were a fucking dinosaur?
Dude, this is what I'm saying. This is Romeo
and Juliet.
It's
a recipe for the most toxic relationship ever seen.
Or it's a recipe for the greatest relationship. With it. I think me and
I don't,
you have a
I
very
think
certain
you,
viewpoint.
You can't differentiate between the two, Ben.
No,
you
I can. I just
this.
Have a preference. Oh my God. Do you want to play a game?
I'd love to play a game.
Amazing. Right. So this game is called B-Movie or Bullshit.
I see sporkle.com and that's giving me strong college vibes.
Dude, this is one of these quizzes where it's like, it's a quick fire round, right?
Right.
It's 26.
It's going to need to be quick.
Dude, it's so quick. I'm going to give you a film title.
Mm-hmm.
Just off the sound of it alone, you're going to go B-Movie or Bullshit.
Love it.
Whether it exists or not, we will find out.
Right.
But we're going to go through. I'm going to see how many out of the 26 you can get.
Okay.
You ready? Beneath Dr. Scalpel's Basement. B-movie or bullshit?
Bullshit.
Bullshit. Correct. Hell Comes to Frogtown.
B-movie.
B-movie it is.
Yes.
Monster or Go-Go?
B-movie.
B-movie it is. The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant.
Bullshit.
No, that's a movie.
Is it?
It's a movie. Bruce Dern was in it.
What?
The Beast of Yucca Flats.
Oh, that's a B-movie.
B-movie. Oh, good stuff. Also known as Yucca. Oh, no. Also known as Yucca is a Yepper. She Gods of Shark Reef.
That's a B-movie.
B-movie. It is. 1958, Roger Corman.
Yeah.
Wild Gals in the Naked West.
That's going to be, I'm going to say that's a B-movie.
It is a B-movie. It's also called Westward Horse. Attack of the Puppet People.
I'm going to say, see, that is correctly phrased
to be
a B-movie.
It is.
But we've had like five in a row now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it's bullshit.
No.
What? Oh, okay.
The B-movie is also called 6 inches Tall. But you did awesome on that one, though.
Yeah.
And if anything, this has just given us a list of movies that I'm going to be covering in the near future.
We were chatting earlier in the week on Patreon about Son of Hitler.
Son of Hitler, yeah.
Son of Hitler, yeah. The Peter Cushing starring B-movie. I'm trying to find it, but it's looking like the only thing I can find is a 50 quid VHS. So that might have to wait to payday.
Wait till payday and we'll go halves on it.
Yeah.
We'll have shared custody of the son of Hitler.
Oh, he'll be raised as we were.
Oh, yeah.
With split weekends.
With no dad.
So there's no comment corner. Oh, wait. Before we get to that, I want to talk to comment corner. But I mean, there's no point in us talking about the rating of this film.
Fat 10.
It's a fat 10.
It's the fattest 10.
It's a fat 10.
This is the.
It's not what I normally like. It's the most Ben movie ever. But now I've seen this, I kind of know what a perfect Ben film is.
Thank you.
And now I'm going to judge everything against this. I feel like we should have done this 2.5 years ago, and you'd have had a far easier time with shit like Abigail.
Yeah, but you see, this is it though, because got a reference point now after seeing a lot of the recent B movie bullshit, and you sort of, I'm hoping that because this is such a perfect entry point into the B-movie universe, that you kind of go, oh, I get it.
Yeah,
and you start
to
see it in a little different way. So then the next film that I bring that's absolute bullshitty waffle and is in no way worthy of being a film, you're like, oh, no, I get it, because it's stupid and dumb, B-movie should be.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can judge it against the perfect B-movie.
I love it.
Incredible.
Love it.
So
two fat tens.
We've been doing fat tens all the time. We need to pick shit films.
Do you know what it is? Because we've moved away from series.
We're
sort of doing more little, you know,
floating.
Pick and mix.
Yeah.
Floating around. Do you know what? This is mint.
Yeah.
And covering it.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than being like, here's the 12th film in the director's catalogue, the one that everyone hates and we all agree is not worth talking about.
Massively mundane. What happens? Stuff.
Right.
Did it hit you? Sometimes.
Speaking of massively mundane, we've got some listeners out there who are having some massively mundane times.
Oh,
in their
okay.
lives.
Fucking hell. I was going to say, what an intro that is to the shout out corner. Fucking hell.
Well, no, because what they're actually having is a terrible time.
Okay.
But I feel like, well, I don't feel like, I know, and you know especially well.
Yeah.
There's only so much terrible you can endure before it sort of just becomes the new norm.
Yes.
And then it becomes what I like to call a mundanely terrible time.
Yeah.
Where like everything's on fire. But you've just kind of learned to cook on the warmth of it, right?
Yeah, you can hold it back long enough
to
get your daily
shit
done.
Right?
And then when you get home, you can sort of just sit.
So some of our listeners are having one of those times and some of them are having legitimate crises. So shout out to Rosie, Mary Meow, Lady Birdie, Chris White, Joshing About, Dan, Michaela, Bradavial. We all had a chat on the Discord. We've got a little Discord server for new listeners. Come join us. It's in the Linktree link that's on every bit of our social media, which you should already be following us on.
Don't fucking follow it.
We're going to start putting original content on there soon as well, so now's a good time. But we've got our little chat room Discord, and normally we have a lovely time in there. We're all talking about movies, talking about memes. Everyone on there is hilarious, and it frustrates me, if I'm honest, because it makes me realise how
funny
I am.
Honestly, the amount of people that crack jokes are about films that we've just covered, and I'm like, cunt, where were you?
Yeah, right,
where were you last week? What is this?
So everyone on there is an absolute diamond, and to hear you all having a rough time is bad. We hope you can put Tammy and the T-Rex on, or this episode, and just have a little bit of a giggle, have a little bit of a smile. And hopefully you've had an hour just now where everything's on fire, but you've got a toy.
Yeah, it's dicking about. We started it on Tammy Fanny, and if that didn't put a smile on your face, nothing will. Because well, no, the ending of this film leaves me grinning.
Right. I feel like what happened, Ben, was Tammy Fanny turned away anyone who wasn't going to be a long-time listener. It's a really simple sorting system.
But the ones that stuck around until now. If you're a new listener and you've stuck around until right now, leave a review and just the words Tammy Fanny. Doesn't matter where you're listening. I will find it. Just leave it.
Well, that's been said.
Just leave it.
Glad
leave
we cleared that one together.
Leave that comment. Yep. Just so I know that you heard this and you were right. Like, these are my people. Because great. I'm telling you what, bud, you're my people.
Great.
All right?
Yeah, that's gonna go great for people who've never heard an episode. They look at the reviews and they just see
Tammy Fanny.
Let's be fair. No new listeners writing it. I'll believe it when I see it.
If we get just the one, if we
won't.
Get just one review,
I bet
that says
you we
Tammy
won't.
Fanny.
I bet you we
I'm
won't.
I'm gonna rub it in your
I'll put a fiver
stupid,
on it.
Stupid face.
I'll put fiver
on it.
I'll put a fiver on it.
Half up a tenner. I'll put a tenner on it. Why not? I'm poor as fuck. A tenner's life changing.
That's why you're poor as fuck.
Yeah. Right? Keep making shit bets. All right, guys, that is it. Unfortunately, that's the end of the show.
Oh, too soon.
I know, man. I've got so much more on this as well. I'm just going to have to start writing essays for the website and just putting shit up.
Yeah.
Honestly, my notes, there's like 7 pages of A4.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, mate.
Just copy and paste it. Just give the unfiltered.
Give it a raw.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because there'll be some madness in there.
There is.
And also, given it raw is realistically going to be the most... We are so busy, Ben, with like full-time jobs and like you look after people.
Yeah.
I'm moving in. Just do a copy. Essay.
We'll see. I'm going to have to curate it because my notes are chaos. But that's the end of the show. We love you all so much.
We really, really do.
Everyone in the Discord, we love you. Thank you for all your contributions and making us smile on a daily basis. You have
you
no
do.
Idea how much it means to us. To every listener that has listened to us this far, leave a review wherever you are. Just 5-star. These guys are cunts. 5-star.
I'll enjoy
Tammy
that
Fanny, 5-star. Just anything like this.
I'll enjoy that fiver.
It means the absolute world and it makes the show a little bit better because then more new listeners will come in thinking, I'm about to listen to more Tammy Fanny.
Well, listen, we know a lot of you listen on a Monday, so it's the start of the week for you. And given that so many of our listeners are just in the thick of it right now, Ben is going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this movie into a really necessary little Monday motivational pep talk to get you through the week.
Yeah,
I'm just going to tell you to consume.
Get yourself a Tammy, man. Or be a Tammy. Do you know what I mean? That's the sort of... Be your own Tammy. Be the person that would love you, even if you were a brain in an animatronic T-Rex that you could still fuck after charades, but also take shopping for corpses. If you love yourself that much, then Tammy will come to you. I've lost... What was the question? I forgot what I'm doing.
Fucking awful.
Wait, hold on.